This is Science Friday from NPR. I'm Ira Flatow. One of the mysteries of the universe, and pondered by scientists, philosophers, and theologians for centuries, is the really big question, why are we here? Why are there galaxies, planets, humans, Twinkies, all of this matter? Where did it come from? Why is the universe almost entirely matter, and not the infamous antimatter instead? Well, a new experiment from the Tevatron Particle Collider at the Fermilab may give us a few clues about that. Joining me now to talk about that, plus a few tidbits of news from this week's meeting at the American Astronomical Society, is my guest, the guy who puts the Ron in astronomy, Ron Cowan,
astronomer, Hi, Ira, how are you?
Physicist, writer at Science News in Washington. Welcome to the program, Ron.
Thanks very much.
You can find Ron's blog over at sciencenews.org. Let's get into this idea. Tell us about this experiment at Fermilab.
Okay. Well, in this experiment, protons and antiprotons are collided together. And, you know, anytime matter meets up with antimatter, the two destroy each other. They're like they're equal and opposite counterparts, and you get pure energy.
Right.
But some particles were created in this experiment, and actually matter and antimatter was created in particular a very short-lived type of elementary particle called a B meson and its antiparticle, the anti-B meson. And the thing of it is that what they found was that there seemed to be, even though equal numbers of B mesons and anti-B mesons were produced, when these very short-lived particles each decayed, you ended up with a little bit more, about 1% more matter than antimatter. And the reason that's so important is that we believe that when the universe began in the Big Bang, there were equal parts matter and antimatter. And if it stayed that way the whole time, they would have destroyed each other on contact, and there would just be pure energy. Somehow or other, there had to be an imbalance, and the imbalance had to have happened, we think, pretty soon after the birth of the universe. And the standard model of particle physics says, well, there could be a little bit of imbalance, a little bit more of matter than antimatter, but it wouldn't even be enough to make one single galaxy. This experiment is saying, you know what, at very high energies, there's some other difference between matter and antimatter that we don't understand yet, and that enough matter, more matter is made than antimatter to create galaxies and planets and people and everything around us today.
So that 1% really makes a difference for all the matter we're seeing today over time, I guess, over the billions of years.
Yes. I mean, that 1% is, even though tiny, is much, much more than what the standard model permits. And they think this could be the answer. They're not sure. One caveat is that there might be other reactions that went on when the universe was so hot and so energetic. We're talking about a trillionth of a second after the birth of the universe. And there could be other reactions going on. This may not be the one, but it could be. And so that's what they're so giddy and excited about.
Let's talk about another bit of news from the Astronomical Society meeting. The discovery of a really interesting planetary system that's very different from our own, right?
Right, that's right. I mean, in our own solar system, pretty much all the planets orbit as if they're bugs glued on the same flat phonograph record. They all orbit in the same plane on the same flat disk.
Save one.
Hmm?
Save one planet. Uranus or something.
Neptune, one
of those. We'll have to check. I know there's
I have to check. but pretty much they all lie in the same on the same disk. So for the first time, they were able to look in detail at a planetary system beyond our own. It's the star which has these three known planets. Yeah. It's called Epsilon Andromeda. It's 45 light years away, which is relatively close. And, you know, you can't see the planets themselves, but you can measure properties based on the gravitational tug they exert on their parent star. And they see that the two biggest planets, and they really are massive, they're many times more massive than Jupiter, orbit not like bugs on a phonograph disk, but a 30-degree angle to each other. And so, you know, this system may have started out like the Sun and a nice flat disk, but it's certainly evolved differently. And it's another sort of, you might call it a slap in the face to the solar system that, you know, we like to think of our solar system perhaps as a typical planetary system, but it may not.
Yeah.
You know, we've already found all these huge Jupiter mass planets that are within roasting distance of their parent star, much closer than our innermost planet, Mercury, is to our sun. Mm-hmm. And now here's another difference.
Interesting. And the last bit of news is about a black hole that is not in the center of its galaxy, like it is in ours, right?
That's right. And we, you know, the standard picture has always been, you know, these supermassive black holes, millions to billions times the mass of the sun. Well, you know, their gravity, they settle right into the center of their parent galaxy. Maybe the galaxy forms around them. But in this galaxy called M87, which has been studied a fair amount, we know there's a black hole there, and now they've seen that the supermassive black hole is actually off-center by about 22 light years. It may be that something definitely did kick this black hole out of the center. It may have been that M87 suffered a collision with another galaxy a few billion years ago that also had a supermassive black hole, and when those two met up, they kicked each other off center. Mm-hmm. It's also possible this galaxy has a big jet in the center, twin jets. One of the jets may have also have kicked this off center, but it's an interesting finding, yeah. And it also, especially if the galaxy merger explanation is right, whenever you see an off-center black hole, it may be telling you, hey, this galaxy underwent some kind of violent collision in the past, and may be a marker of that.
It's always great to have these things that no one expects in astronomy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Ron.
Sure.
Thanks for coming on and taking time to talk with us. Have a good holiday weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Ron Cowan is the astronomy and physics writer at Science News in Washington, and you can follow his blog at sciencenews.org.